Well, today you're getting a double portion of Max. Mac open, Mac will speak here. So let's start by turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11, looking at verses 2 and 3. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. But I am afraid, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led away from that simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. That your minds should be led astray from that simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Now turn over to Revelation chapter 3. The end of the letter to the church of Laodicea. Revelation 3, 21 and 22. We know in these seven letters, in each letter there's a call to overcome. This is the concluding one in Laodicea. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Finally, over in Revelation chapter 12, Revelation 12, verses 10 and 11. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful again, as we do every Lord's Day, just for that great privilege of remembering you at your table. Lord, it does set within our heart a foundation for life. It sets within our heart a hope, Lord, of your return. It refocuses us on, Lord, what is the issue of life. And Lord, as we continue, we thank you that in the days we're living in, you are a God who still speaks to us. We come, Lord, as those that would have a desire to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Lord, we are not looking just for knowledge, but we're looking to hear words of life. And as we offer ourselves to you, Lord, we pray that you would use this time together to prepare us, to equip us for the days that we find ourselves living in. Because it's only by your grace and your mercy. And we're thankful for that. In Jesus' name, amen. As we read and hear more and more of our Lord's imminent return, we also hear more and more of the call to overcome. And why is there this call to overcome growing louder in these days? And it's because simply the church in general is in a weakened condition. We know back as we look at the birth of the church there on earth in the book of Acts, how it had a healthy birth. It had a bright testimony of what it was about and who it was for. They were known as, they came to be known as Christians because they were ones there standing for Christ. There was a clarity. And also in that early church, there was a simplicity of message. They were declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. But as we've gone through the ages and as we come to the current time, we see the church is really in a weakened condition. We're not where we should be as God's people. And even though outwardly we have many forms of godliness, there's great religious activity, many forms of very godly works going on. But inwardly, there's a lack of the reality of the life of Christ in His people. And that's what we're jealous for in this hour. And because we find ourselves living in these abnormal times, the Spirit cries out for us to overcome. And what's been upon my heart lately, as I've been considering this matter, is the Lord has just been impressing upon me on this matter of overcoming and just sharing a few thoughts. And Because I have a desire to experience it more. And it's interesting as you start to think about overcoming, it can be, I mentioned to a couple of people this week, they said, what are you sharing on? And I said, I'll be sharing on overcoming. And they go, whoa, it's overwhelming. There's like a mystery, a mystique. There's something out there that puts it almost in another category from the normal Christian life. When we sang that hymn, I Dare Not Be Defeated, how did that impact you? I'll confess, when I first heard that hymn many years ago at a conference, we sang it, I was intimidated to death. I said, I'll never be an overcomer. You know, and we hear this hymn about, I dare not be defeated. Make me an overcomer. And the tragedy with so many believers is we say, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm not going to be defeated. I'm going to be an overcomer. And that's the wrong answer. The answer is actually, the better answer is, Lord, I can't be an overcomer. But tragically, that's half of the proper answer. We have to see we can't be an overcomer in ourselves. But because we have the one who's overcome living within us, we can overcome. He says, make me an overcomer. He says, I dare not be defeated. If it doesn't stop there, it was with Calvary in view. And that little chorus in that hymn, it's not looking upon us. He says, a victor, a victor. It's because of Calvary. That's it. It's because of Calvary. Make me an overcomer, a conqueror, Lord. It doesn't stop there. A conqueror, Lord, in Thee. Not in ourselves. As we're in Him and He's in us, there's an overcoming life that is just desiring to burst forth. And the tragedy that many of us, and we've probably all been through these cycles in our life, it's like living the normal Christian life. We try too hard. And then we finally come to a place of seeing, I can't do it. And we remember that for a while, but then we start trying again. And then we see we can't. And it's the same way with overcoming. So my desire today is, and this is really, the Lord's been speaking to me, I wanted to see overcoming as an aspect of the normal Christian life. To see it from His perspective. And that's why I read that verse about returning to the simplicity. Because in so many ways, we've gotten away from our simplicity that there is in Christ. Last time I shared on teaching us to number our days in the spirit of being prepared. Because we even has made being prepared, being ready, complicated. And we've gotten away the simplicity of just living each day unto the Lord and making each day count by His grace. We saw there in that time when the Lord's, in the parables He shared about His second coming, what were they commended for? They were simply commended for being good and faithful servants. They weren't commended by all their biblical knowledge or their great knowledge of prophecy or eloquent sermons or being at every meeting or conference attended. You attended this many conferences, therefore you're an overcomer. No. They were commended because it was a life of Christ that they saw and they were responding to. And that's what we're really looking for. Now, I just want to be clear on one thing. When I say they weren't commended for those great, all their biblical knowledge and prophecy and meeting attendance and conferences and all that, I don't want to be misunderstood. Those things come forth from the normal Christian life. In a normal Christian life, we will seek to know the Word in a greater way. In a normal Christian life, we will seek to know about our Lord's return. In the normal Christian life, the fruit of that will be the desire to gather with brethren. In the normal Christian life, we'll desire, when ones gather at a conference or other times, to be together. In the normal Christian life, where we can serve, we're going to seek those opportunities. But those outward things in and of themselves do not make us spiritual. It's the life within. And then we see that life manifest among His people. Tragically, that's why I mentioned earlier how in Christianity today there's so much outward form. There's an outward form of godliness, many activities. But where's the life? Where's the life? We've shared before at our Lord's first coming how at that temple there was all sorts of glorious religious activities going on. There was so much glitz and glamour and everything. But what was missing was the glory of the Lord. There was no glory of the Lord in that temple. That's what He's after. He's after for His life to be seen and manifest in His people. And as we live and walk daily in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the love of the Father and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, He's able to do that work. That's how Paul finished 2 Corinthians. And he's calling us to simply walk in this. And in that spirit of being prepared, in that spirit of returning to simplicity, what is an overcomer? Because it's interesting as we start looking at it. The word overcomer, it comes from the Greek word. Now, if we had Luke here, I'd call upon him. Luke is the expert in speaking Greek. But it's nikeo. And so as you see in the Greek, it's nike. And do you know how that's spelled? N-I-K-E. Nike. They got their name from the Greek goddess of victory. Nike simply means victory, or God, or to conquer, to win. And that's the Greek word. So whenever you see words like conquering, victorious, overcoming, it's the same root word of meaning victory. And actually the swoosh there, I like to think that's a V. It's actually the wing of the goddess, but we won't go there. But it was just, when you see that swoosh, think of a V for victory in Christ. Every time we wear, that's why I only wear Nike. I'm hoping. I put the outward on, hoping it could work inwardly too. But when we think of this word victory, who wins the victory? Who has won that victory? And that's Christ. He's already won it for us, as we read there in 3:21. He's won the victory, and He is the overcomer. He's overcome the world. He's overcome sin. He's overcome flesh. He's overcome the devil. And because He has overcome, and we're believing in Him, we have that overcoming life living within us. And it's desiring to burst forth. Each and every one of us has that overcoming life, that all-victorious, all-sufficient life living within us. How did He overcome? How did our Lord overcome? And to me, this is a beautiful picture, because sometimes it can help take away the intimidation of this thought of overcoming. We know in Revelation we see our Lord as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Did He overcome as the Lion of the tribe of Judah? No. He overcame as the Lamb of God. He humbled Himself to that point of death, even death on the cross. That's how He overcame. How do these ones that we just read in Revelation 12, how did they overcome? Was it in some great manifestation of power? How did they overcome? It says they overcame because of the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto death. That's what we see worked out in Christ for us. These are three very simple, straightforward things. They're not, it's not a PhD. It's not like, again, that they did all these great works. They didn't overcome because of all their biblical knowledge, their prophetic history. They didn't overcome because of their place of service. They didn't overcome because they were apostles. They didn't overcome because they were teachers. They didn't overcome because they were elders or responsible brothers or Sunday school teachers or wherever, if you're serving in music. That wasn't why they overcame. But it was because they had allowed the life of Christ within them to hold them and keep them. It's not the outward, it's not that, but it's His life. And that's why there's a call to each and every one of us. Not just some few, but each and every one of us. There's that call. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The enemy has done a great job in distorting this whole thought of overcoming. And we'll touch on that in a minute. But these ones overcame because they had a daily life. They had a living relationship with the Lord. And they entered into that. It wasn't afar off. It was within them. It was an inwardness to the relationship, to the life they had with the Lord. When we think about this overcoming, I was looking back at just what some others have said about this matter. And it's interesting, everybody is unanimous on the fact that this is not an elite group. This is not a special group of Christians. This is not somehow ones that are better than the other brethren. Somehow they got more and they can handle this and they're going to be the overcoming. No, it's for each and every one. Brother Sparks was asked, what is an overcomer? Some young people were with him one time and they asked him, what is an overcomer? I'm going to read these so I can get the quotes right. He said, an overcomer is not someone who is perfect, elite, or a superman. An overcomer is simply someone who is in the will of God at the end of their earthly life. Someone who is in the will of God at the end of the race. No matter how many times they've fallen, gotten off course, but in the end, because of the blood of the Lamb, they got back up. They got in the race. That's the overcomer. Nothing special there. We've heard our brother Kong share on several occasions about the overcomer is simply one who is living the normal Christian life. Not some super normal life above the other believers, but a normal Christian life. And this looks strange to us because many of us live a subnormal life. We're not laying hold of the fullness of the possessions, the fullness of the inheritance that we have in Christ. We become content. We settle down. We can become overwhelmed and we say, I can't do this. It becomes too hard and too difficult. We love this world, the desires of life. We get distracted. So many things. And because of the grace of God and the days we're living in, there's not within our circles in general, a great pressure to push into God. Now, in other countries in this day and time, like in China and Cuba, many other countries where there's persecution, there's some pressure. And you're going to be pushed into God. And now the Lord is just simply showing us His table. He puts His table before us every Sunday to display the love of Christ. I've died for you. And we've heard one shared before, about, you know, what is your response? What are you doing for me? And He simply wants us to respond by giving ourselves to Him. Brother Lance said that an overcomer simply means to come over. To come over whatever the obstacle was in our life. To come over it by the life of the overcomer within. By His grace, allowing that overcoming life to carry us through. I was reading some things on the overcomer too, and it's interesting how many people say, oh, well, overcoming's all of works. It's not of grace. God is all of grace. You get into this overcoming, it's of works. It's what you're doing. And so I went to a brother who was a great advocate of grace. I don't know how many of you remember a brother Floyd Police, but if there was ever a brother who would advocate grace to the extreme, he would, but in a very balanced and full way. He was also very blunt. I'm going to read a quote from you, so I'm warning you up front. He's very blunt on this matter of it being works and not grace. Brother Floyd Police said, it's idiotic to say it's contrary to the doctrine of grace. These are ones who actually know more of His grace in their daily lives than the rest of us. He's saying the overcomers, it's not a work, not on works. They know more of the grace of God that's been made available to each and every one of us than the rest of us. They've laid hold of something. This is what the Lord is calling us to and how He's calling us to lay hold of what we've been laid hold of for. And there's an abundant provision that He's made for us in Christ, and He's simply wanting us to really come into that. You know, when we stop and think about this matter of the overcomer, and we see one of the tactics, and we can learn from this. This is one of the tactics that the enemy uses against God's people to discredit Christ and His Word. Remember how it says that Eve was led astray. How was she led astray? The enemy challenged, undermined the Lord and His authority by saying, "Has God said? Has God said this? Has God said?" And she took the bait, and she was deceived. And eventually she was led away, and Adam in his sin was led away from that place of simplicity in Christ. It was a beautiful place there of peace, life, simple life with the Lord back and forth, enjoying the riches in that garden. But she gave in to that enemy. And it shows us how the enemy can attack in this hour, particularly God's Word, in particular Christ, His Word and His authority. He'll do it on either one way or the other. On the one hand, He'll try to take something away from what Christ has done. He tries to take something away from Christ, His work, and the Word of God. We see today how many say, you know, salvation is in many ways. You can't rely on the Bible. You know, don't worry about sin. We see so many of the foundational truths being eroded and attacked and made as if they're nothing. There's so much deception, and many fall into that trap. Has God said? The Word of God is challenged today, and if we don't know that Word, and somebody says, "Has God said?" it can raise that seed of doubt within us, and we can get led astray. That's the taking away from Christ. On the other hand, the way the enemy can work is make it Christ plus something. Oh, it's good you love Christ, but if you want to be a better Christian, you have to also do this. He's trying to add something to, instead of it just being the grace of the Lord alone. This is something that only special ones can attain to. If you really want to be a better Christian, if you do this, that's what the ones in Colossae fell into that trap. It was Christ plus some distorted form of Gnosticism that they had to lead them into a higher teaching. We saw how many of the Judaizers in the book of Acts, it was Christ plus circumcision. It was always Christ plus. And this is what this overcoming, the truth and the principle of it, the enemy has come in among many believers and tried to make it something special. Oh, if you want to be one of those, you got to do this and this and this. Not every Christian can be an overcomer. That's the special group. That's the elite group. And when we hear this word, sometimes people start talking about overcoming, we turn it off. Say, "I can never get there. I can never do that." And the enemy has so deceived Christianity this day and allowed us to, because in this time of declension, we've gotten away from what is this call to overcome. And I think the reason it's on my heart is because we do see it so connected with the days we're living in. And it is so vital that we learn to really live that normal Christian life, live that overcoming life, that we can be the testimony who God has called us to be. But because we've had this false concept of what overcoming is, that's just a small elite group, we don't even pursue what God is after. Look again back at Revelation 12, verses 10 and 11. Because we see what the activity of the enemy here. In verse 10 it says, "Now the salvation and power and kingdom of our God and authority of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night." You see the intensity of the battle there. Day and night. The enemy is there accusing. And I love how he says there, it shows us our relationship. It says how the enemy is the accuser of not just the brethren. It's our brethren. We're connected. There's the enemy, the one who's accusing all of us. Because so often it's not just being accused ourselves. We get one another. The accusations start flying around in the air. But there is a battle that every one of us is born into. And the enemy knows the value of daily life. And he's very consistent. Commend him for his consistency. He's more consistent in his battle than we are in our battle. I mean, we've been equipped with everything. And yet, we get sluggish at times. We shrink back. We become content. The enemy's never content. He's always seeking just that little bit more. And we need to be awakened in this hour that we're called to. And as we consider not only the battle that we've been brought into, but we're thankful for the victory that we've been brought into. We're thankful that there were these ones here as it testifies in Revelation 12. Now, we're not going to get in, when I'm talking about the overcoming today, we're not going to get into any of the prophetic events, time or events or anything. We're just looking at this in particular, the thought of overcoming. And as we see this, we see how these basic elements that we've already read are just simply the essentials for walking in victory, for overcoming. I'm so thankful for this, for there's a simplicity here. And when it talks about they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, you know, praise God that. They didn't overcome because of some great work, some great merit that they did. It was all because of his finished work. And that is the solid and sure foundation we have. And if that's what he wants us to see, and that's the privilege we have every Lord's Day of taking this table, of seeing the great work that the blood of the Lamb has wrought. And what all does that blood of the Lamb speak of? Sometimes, now you can do a whole sermon on that, but we're going to just try to encapsulate it to this morning. Because we see the blood of the Lamb. Praise God, that speaks of our so great a salvation. Have we been redeemed from the world? We've been redeemed from the flesh and sin and the enemy and brought into the great salvation that we have in Him in the fullness of that provision. That blood of the Lamb also speaks of our daily cleansing. He who is faithful and just to cleanse us of all of our sins and unrighteousness. That's the blood of the Lamb. And also that blood of the Lamb is our shield and our defender and our protector. So maybe we get it settled in our hearts, the fullness of the provision, the completeness of the provision, the all-sufficiency of the provision that we have in Christ. How can we overcome? Because He overcame. And we can go through the day, whatever circumstances we find ourselves in a victorious way, because He has overcome. And we're covered from the blood of the Lamb. When we go out into this world, when we go to work, when we go to school, praise God, the blood of the Lamb is over us. And we're in Christ. And we have a place of protection. And may we become more and more aware of that. I love that little chorus. It says, no weapon formed against us can stand. We're under the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. That's more than just a cute little chorus. That's a great truth. And so often when we see things, we shrink back and we can forget. But with the Holy Spirit, bring it to mind that when we find ourselves intimidated, when we find ourselves caught off guard by things, oh, thank you, Lord, for the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for that victory. I can stand into that. That's the sure and solid foundation we have. And because the enemy... And to become aware that the enemy is out there accusing us day and night. And the enemy, when he's accusing us, he is relentless. And there are many false things that he accuses us of. But also because of our sins and faults, there are many true things that he accuses us of. Things we've done. But praise God, whether they're false or whether they're true, the answer is the blood of the Lamb. And that settles it right there. There's this wonderful story in history about Martin Luther. And he actually didn't write it himself. He told somebody. And so if you Google it, you get many different interpretations and variations of this story. I'll try to keep it simple. But one time Luther said he had a dream. And in that dream, the enemy came to him. And on a piece of paper, he was writing all of the sins of Martin Luther. And he had a huge, exhaustive list. One of the variations of the story says, Luther said to him, is that all? Can't you think of more? And so the enemy went back to writing. He wrote a few more. And he said, have you finished? And Luther said, yes. The enemy said, yes. He says, okay, now write this across that. the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb answers every accusation. And this is something that we can know in our minds. Now, we know this, but every one of us wrestles with that at times because of the validity of the accusation. When they're accusing us, before we say, that's right. And it's okay to say that's right, but don't stop there. That's right, but the blood of the Lamb cleanses me from all those sins and all those accusations. Praise God for that. You know, I'm so thankful. I mentioned 1 John 1:9 a minute ago that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. That's another verse that so often we can say and we know, but is it registering in our hearts? When these things come up, do we know the reality of it? Also in Romans 8:33, it says, who will bring a charge against God's elect? Each and every one of us is God's elect. Who is out there that can bring a charge? No one can. If God is for us, who can stand against us? There's nothing that separates us from the love of Christ. Praise God, because of the blood of the Lamb. It provides us with a solid and sure foundation for this normal Christian life, for this life that we've been called unto. All of our victories that we called our victories are simply standing by faith into His victory. We just simply respond to that. And as we respond to the blood of the Lamb, and we have that clear conscience, and we have a clear heart before Him, that allows us to have a clear testimony also. If we don't have that solid foundation, if we're not clear on what God has done for us, and all of our sins have been forgiven in the solidness of our foundation, there's no way we can have a good testimony. That second point there, the word of their testimony. They're able to have the word of their testimony because they know the blood of the Lamb and all it's done. And they can stand on that. And as we stand more and more upon what Christ has done, we can have that clear, simple, precious testimony. And what is the word of our testimony? Who is the word of our testimony? Jesus Christ is Lord. It's not some huge doctrinal statement. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the word of our testimony. All through Scriptures, you start to see, if you go to some Bible software and you just type in this little phrase, that they might know that I am the Lord. That's God's desire. From Exodus, when He was dealing with the people, He said, I'm dealing with, so that my people will know that I'm the Lord. Also, that the world and Pharaoh would know that I am the Lord. Throughout the kings, it has this desire that they will know that I am the Lord. You come to the prophet Ezekiel, over 50 times in that book, he has a simple little phrase that both the people of God and the world would be clear that they'd simply know that I am the Lord. That's all he's desiring today, that our lives would reflect the testimony. And this is not just a testimony with our mouth. This is an inward reality in life. That He is our Lord, that He is the one, and that we would have that, the more sure our foundation which we have, the clearer and bolder our testimony will be. Why at times don't we have a clear testimony? Why don't we have a bold testimony? It's because our foundation is shaken. But praise God, as we know of the blood of the Lamb, we can have that clear testimony declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord. And allowing it to Him to really be exalted within our life. Not just saying it with our lips, please, but just really allowing it to be shown forth in life. Those that are captured by Him, testifying of Him. That was Paul's testimony. He was constrained by the love of Christ, that he would no longer live for himself, but live for the one who died and rose again. Praise God for that. In this matter, I was thinking of this matter of a testimony, how vital it is in this day and time. And I was drawn back to the Old Testament, to the story in 1 Samuel, about that story of, there is my Ebenezer. There was a stone that planted. May we plant the stone of our testimony that stone of the testimony that hitherto or thus far has the Lord helped me. That's a public test. That stone was placed in view for everyone to see. It was publicly known. This is how the Lord has helped me. Do our lives reflect that? Or is there his life coming forth in such a way that God, the Lord, is my Lord, and he has helped me thus far, and he will continue to keep me all the way through? Praise God. Would there be that testimony? Because it is so needed in the midst of these evil, dark days. We had the time over New Year's about the gospel would go forth. There needs to be that public testimony of life among the world that many would be drawn to him. There needs to be that public testimony in life among the people of God. Because tragically today, with the church in a weakened condition, many have gotten away from the Lord. They've become discouraged. They've become discontented. We heard Johnny share the other Sunday about the lost sheep. There are many lost sheep that are his. But because of something going on, many varied reasons, they've drifted away. Would that there be a bright light? Would there be that testimony, a living testimony? Jesus is Lord, and ones would be drawn to that and woo them back to Christ, wooing ones back in the love of Christ that has captured us, not just in word, but in deed and in life. And as ones have that blood of the Lamb as their foundation and are so secure, and as we allow the Lord to become that testimony in life to us, we enter into that third aspect. The normal, natural response to that is loving not your life unto death. You will lay your life down. It doesn't start there. If you don't know the blood of the Lamb and His great love for us, if we don't know the solidness of our testimony and the power of the testimony that Jesus Christ is Lord, there's no way we can lay our life down. But once we're captured by that, once we're captured by His love, we will be those that are willingly laying our lives down. And yes, sometimes that might mean a physical martyr's death. But for most of us, it means that loving not our self-life, going the way of the cross, not loving our self-life unto death, but really allowing the Lord in a great way to work within us. Many have shared over the years how the greatest hindrance in our own personal life, the greatest hindrance in our life together, is self. Self-love is the greatest hindrance to the testimony of Jesus being strengthened in this hour and throughout history. Self-love is what we battle with the most in our own lives. And how we're thankful that the more we can see of the victory we have in Him, captured by His love, then we will lay our lives down. As we're captured by that, we will be those that are willing to allow His life to come forth in that fuller and greater way. When you look back at Revelation 2 and 3, where He called each one of those churches to overcome, He said, He knew each one of them. He knew exactly what was going on. And when that call went out to everybody to overcome, and that call went out to he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. It wasn't a call to wait for things to get better. It wasn't a call to leave and go somewhere else. It was a call to overcome right in the midst of where you are. Right in the midst of the circumstances. Are you in the midst of a place where the brethren have left their first love? Overcome, because he is overcome. Are you in the midst of a place that is compromised with the world? Overcome. Are you in the midst of the place that has false teaching, even to Jezebel? Overcome there. Allow his life to come forth through us to be that bright light in the midst of the darkness. Are we in a place that has a name but is dead? Overcome. Bring life into that. Are we in a place like Laodicea that says we're rich and have need of nothing? How tragic that is. Overcome right there, right in the midst. That's saying no to self. Self manifests itself, and I want this. I want that. I like this, I don't like that. And we can create so many excuses. Praise God, when our Lord Jesus was upon this earth, He overcame the religious system that He encountered by laying His life down. He overcame as the Lamb. He overcame the condition in the world, too, under the cruel Roman Empire. He overcame. He wasn't intimidated. He didn't allow the Roman Empire to overcome Him. He didn't allow Judaism to overcome Him. He overcame as He laid His life down. And whatever situation we find ourselves in, whatever assembly life we're in, that's how we overcome. Because that's where it really gets worked out. So oftentimes we feel like we get misunderstood. We get offended. We're not appreciated. We're neglected. They don't like, you know, we're having spaghetti from Joe's Inn today, so that's going to offend some people. They don't like Joe's Inn. They like somewhere else. Some people like Domino's Pizza. Some people like Pizza Hut. There's so many opportunities to offend one another. But we got to get over it. Not in ourselves, but in Him. And allowing His life to come through that way. It's tragic. Again, I don't want to... I'm using this as an example of a life responding. But oftentimes, as you can talk with ones, you say, well, you weren't at that meeting. And again, please understand where I'm coming from. You weren't at that meeting. They say, well, I don't like that meeting. It doesn't go like I want it to go, so I'm not going. You know, that person's there. I'm not going to go to that meeting. I'll go there. I'll do it. It's what we think that somehow the spiritual life is something different. But no, spiritual life is laying yourself down. Spiritual life is laying your life down and going to be with the brethren that you don't enjoy at times. Spiritual life is bringing... Don't smile, Roger. You got to put up with me sometimes, Roger. So, but we see how, you know, is it within my own heart? Is it a great, wonderful time? Am I thrilled to get up every Wednesday night and come to prayer meeting? No, I mean, it's a wrestle there. I'd love to sit home and just kick back for a minute. You know, to get up and go to work day. To go to a sister's meeting, to be here on time. Whatever we can, there's so many little opportunities we have for the overcoming life to be manifest. Now again, I'm not focusing on the outward. I'm looking at the origin and source of what's impacting our activities. What are we living for? This is the overcoming life that really is simply wanting us to live for Him and entering into that. And because until we have it settled, until we know this, the power of the blood of the Lamb, we're going to continue serving two masters. We're going to serve ourselves, continue living in bondage, and we're going to try to serve the Lord, but we're not going to do that very well. That is going to be half-hearted and double-minded. The Lord has to settle it within our heart. Who are we serving? That's why I appreciate the call in Laodicea, where they were lukewarm, trying to... He said... Either be hot or cold. You know, if you don't want to follow the Lord, don't follow Him. Don't try to put up a charade. Don't try to go through religious activities or ceremonies or anything. If you don't want to follow Him, go your own way. But be honest with Him. And He'll understand. He knows you. He loves you. He's not going to turn His back on you because you say, I don't want you, Lord. He didn't save us because we wanted Him. He saved us because He wanted us. And if we say, Lord, I want to go my own way, okay? Be honest with Him. But if you want to have this heart of really being set free from self, could we really surrender ourselves to Him and allow Him in a fuller and greater way that we would be those that love not our lives unto death? That self-life. A life given for Him. Ah. And again, this loving not our lives unto death is not just that mental knowing about it. We can give a great sermon. It's actually, if you look at many of the doctrines in Christianity, it's pretty easy to put together a sermon on doctrines. But you start living it, that's when the reality hits us. And we need to be living in a greater way in the reality of all that we've heard. Now, a couple of things to clarify on overcoming. It's not related in any way to how old you are. Okay? Amen. I'll get to the old ones in a minute, Shirley. But if you're a young believer, you know, if you're a young believer, maybe you've only known the Lord a week or so, or a month or a year, you say, oh, well, that's for the older one. That's for the more mature ones. No, it's not. This overcoming life is for each and every one of us. The young believer, you might not have as much biblical knowledge. You might not have a lot of experience. But if you're faithful to the light that God has shown you, if you're faithful to what you know of Him, He's my Savior. That's all. Maybe you know I was blind, but now I see. If we're faithful to that, if we're faithful to what He's put in our hands, that's overcoming. And it's not somehow we elevate it again. Let's bring it back down to see the normality, the simplicity of this overcoming life. It's simply being faithful to what God has put in our hands and walking in that, knowing who He is, the word of our testimony of, you know, I was blind and now I see. I know Him. Praise God. If He returns and we're taken, that's overcoming. And also for some of us older ones, you know, sometimes in the older one, we'll say, well, it's too late for me. And I've really messed my life up. I can't. You know, I've wasted my life. No, it's never too late. There's always that opportunity to repent, come back to Him, surrender to Him, and whatever days we have left upon this earth, walk with Him and serve Him. That's the overcoming life. It's being faithful with who He is to us, what He's put in our hands, and walking in that. Not elevating it to some special thing. And also, overcoming life does not mean that we will live a sinless, perfect life. If we lived a sinless, perfect life, we would have no need of the blood of the Lamb. But because we are going to sin, we know the preciousness of that blood. And our sins do not hinder us from pressing on. We confess them, we repent, if forgiveness is needed, we take care of that, and we go on, we continue on. And we learn more and more the power of the blood to get back up and continue on. So that accuser of the brethren is always there. Well, as soon as we sin, see, you're not an overcomer. You can never do this. You can never do that. The blood of the Lamb answers that accusation. This thought of overcoming is simply living that normal Christian life. Being who He's called us to be. And that's what we need so much. You know, we started by sharing that call to each one on this matter to overcome. Because we see, and what was upon my heart was that we see how the enemy has so greatly distorted it. I'm reminded, we just finished reading in Deuteronomy about how when the people had the law, Moses reminded the people, even with the law of God, it's not far off. The end of Deuteronomy, he says, it's in your heart. This overcoming is not a far-off thing. It's in our hearts. It's a life we have. If we can allow Him to really come forth in a way that He is desiring. And so may we just stop and consider more and more His desire for us to overcome and to each to know what I would call the simplicity of overcoming. Hopefully, at the end here, we're seeing a little more of the simplicity of it. I told Herbert the other night, I'm going to share on the simplicity of overcoming. He laughed in my face because he's my brother. But there is. But the enemy has so distorted that. And may he bring us back to that place. Brother Christian Chen described overcoming as one who has been overcome by the love of Christ. One who's been overcome by the love of Christ and now lives and serves to please Him. What does that sound like? Sounds like a bondservant. In the Old Testament, that bondservant was one who loved his master in his house. Wasn't going to live for himself anymore. Was going to simply live for his master. Maybe if the term overcoming intimidates, we could just say bondservant. It's very similar. these terms. And, you know, I'm thankful that, you know, and really the overcoming ones are simply ones that are prepared. They know the reality of the blood of the Lamb. Their testimony is clear. They're laying not their lives unto death. And to really encourage us, I'd like us to end with Romans chapter 8. Because the word overcomer is used there in the Greek. In Romans chapter 8, if you turn back, we can be somewhat familiar with these verses. If look at verse 35. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And it goes on to talk about tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Praise God, the blood of the Lamb has overcome all of that. And then 36, just as it is written, "For thy sake we're being put to death all day long, considered as sheep to be slaughtered," laying down that life unto death. But look at verse 37. This is the encouraging verse that is the Lord desires for it to be reality within each and every one of our lives. And it's not afar off, it's within us. It's available to us. "But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us." Now that overwhelmingly conquer, the root word there is that Nike. It's the overwhelmingly overcome. There's a prefix on it that makes it either more than or overwhelming. But the root word there, the same word as we said for overcoming, for victory, it's that word Nike. And I love how it just, he says, "But in all these things," because we can't be separated from the love of Christ because of that blood of the Lamb, because of all He's done, we can be those that overwhelmingly overcome. Not just overcome a little bit, but each and every one of us, because of this place of security we have, because of Christ's love. This is not our love for Him. This is love of Christ, His love for us and the love for the Father. We can overwhelmingly overcome through Him who loved us. And it continues on. He's how would we be convinced that neither death, life, angels, principalities, things present, things to come, powers, height, depth, any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord and is now in us and desiring to burst forth in a fuller and greater way. May the Lord touch our hearts in this day, that as we consider the Lord's imminent return, as we hear this call that goes out to all, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says." As we hear, as our brother Kong has shared in the past, the last call to the church, that call to overcome, would it not intimidate us? Would we not think it's mysterious? But would we see it in the simplicity that there is in Christ and the availability of it that we have for each and every one of us to enter into? Because by His grace, we can. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for this marvelous and wonderful provision that we have in You. Lord, we're thankful for all of Your precious and magnificent promises. Lord, we are thankful for the blood of the Lamb. We're thankful for the word of our testimony, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we do have that desired response to love not our lives unto death. Lord, we do pray that as we would even just stop and rethink this whole matter of overcoming, that You would make it clearer within all of our hearts. Remove the lies of the enemy from us. Remove the subtle ways the enemy makes it complicated. And allow us to return to simplicity of living that normal Christian life, to be those that are prepared for Your return. In Thy name we pray. Amen.